أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على صلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن لا ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين This is a great bounty of Allah تبارك وتعالى that Allah تبارك وتعالى has allowed us this great of performing our Salatul Jum'ah with Jama'ah. There are many places in the world where Muslims aren't able to perform their Salatul Jum'ah. Leave alone Salatul Jum'ah, they aren't able to perform their daily Salah with Jama'ah. This is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ought to thank Him for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in the Quran and Majid that whenever we will show gratitude to Him for any favor that we are enjoying, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises an increase in that favor. On the contrary, if a person fails to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude for any favor that he's enjoying, then there are two primarily bad effects of that. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may allow the person to keep the bounty, but the person will fail to benefit from that bounty. Like how we see sometimes, due to our lack of taking the masajid seriously, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed that we have plenty of masajid, but the masajid are very empty. On the contrary, if a person fails to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches that bounty completely away from him. It is a foregone conclusion. The Arabs normally say that ash-shukru hafidhul mawjood wa jalibul mafqood. What does gratitude do for a person? Gratitude preserves a ni'mah that a person is enjoying, and it draws near any ni'mat, any bounties that a person wishes to enjoy in the future. So if we want anything, if we are seeking an increase in anything, then the primary step, the first thing that we ought to do is show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely promises an increase. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give an increase, in that increase there will definitely be blessings, there will definitely be barakah. Normally, we must understand this, we say that kathrat, abundance, a person has a lot. You say this man has a lot, so it is blessed. That is not necessarily the case. I mean, the kuffar have so much wealth, but we know very well that that wealth is not blessed at all. But on the other end, if a person has a little bit, but it has immense barakah, it has immense blessings in it, then a little, then it has immense barakah in it. So this is the first step that we ought to adopt, that we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude. And together with that, that we also need to understand that while showing gratitude is foremost, there is a concept in Islam that is known as etiquette. To understand the concepts of etiquette, we relate an incident of Munzir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Munzir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates his own incident. He says, I come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first on one occasion, then on a second occasion, as a delegate. He was the Amir of the delegation. So then he comes to Madinah Munawwarah to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his delegation, being the first time seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they jumped off the vehicles and hurriedly went to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Munzir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he remained with his conveyance. He put the other people's conveyance, like so to say, like parked the conveyances. And he took the luggage and neatly placed it in the masjid. According to some riwayat, some narrations, it is said that he went to a nearby stream, took a shower, read two rakat salah, and then presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he did this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ الْحِلْمُ وَالْإِنَاءِ. You have two such qualities in you that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is al-hilm and the other is ana. That you are very graceful in whatever you are doing. You are not hasty. So then he asked that, is it that I got it on my own or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me? So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him that it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. So also from here we understand that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with good qualities. But normally, for the greater part of life, most of us aren't granted that naturally. So then Islam came, and then it taught us this etiquette, something that is very, very important in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates this point in the Quran Majid, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَيْرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That the person who show reverence, who show respect to any of the salient features of Islam, then this is a sign that this person actually has taqwa. What is the benefit of taqwa? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for him the avenues of goodness, so to say. So nowadays we find ourselves that we are witnessing the ummah is going through so much difficulties. But sometimes this stems from the little things that we overlook daily. Amongst them is etiquette. And the bigger thing is that we, so to say, do not show the required value for our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this iman, for the protection of this iman, He sends plus minus 120,000 anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam for the preservation of this iman. At that time, what was the condition of the world? Sayyidina Abul Hasan Nadr rahimahullah mentions that there was a long period between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whenever the world was plunged into darkness, into misguidance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the Nabi. Then the Nabi will serve his term, then the next Nabi, etc. But then, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and obviously we have to understand this in point, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is khatam al-Nabiyyin.
is the final Anbiya, is the final Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the seal of prophethood. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent to the dunya. And what a sharia Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him with. Because this sharia is to last till the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a personality, he doesn't have so much time on his plate, so to say, on his side. So whatever he is going to do, it is really going to be packed with so much of goodness that it is enough to last till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the condition of the ummah at that time? Sayyid Abu Hassan Nadir rahimahullah mentioned, Sadat al-Dhalam, Talat al-Fatra, wa Sadat al-Dhalam. But what was the situation of the dunya at that time? That there had been a long period between the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The world was plunged into darkness. We all know that darkness is synonymous with misguidance. And then, وَانْتَشَرَ الظَّلَامِ, it was widespread misguidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. There's a whole chapter on the actual situation in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala narrates this hadith. Says as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of the Arabs. And then having looked at the hearts of the Arabs, he chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the station of prophethood, that means he was the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this there is inference that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation, is the best of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Because normally when we want any work to get done, even if a person has a family in the house, they say, this child of mine, he is the one who will get the job done. As if to say hypothetically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will definitely get the job done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the dunya. And the Arabs, they were such that nobody wanted to rule over the Arabs. They were so backwards, they were so ignorant, that nobody wanted them. But then, to truly understand and appreciate the context of the Arabs, so Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began preaching to the Meccans, began preaching to the Arabs of the time, the Mushrikeen, etc. So obviously untold difficulties to such a point that they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah. So then the first batch goes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy knew that He has invested qualities in men. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him belongs the armies of the earth and the heavens. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His armies. Somewhere, somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept a just king in the lands of Africa. And He says, backed by wahi, that in Africa there is a king, he is just, he does not oppress anybody. So this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they go to this king, and then the Arabs who began chasing those who had escaped to... So then they speak out against them, they say these people have ran away, they fled from their families, their family sent us to get them back. So this man, the Mazhar, the Izhar, the moment of the manifestation of his justice is here. Wherein he says, I cannot send these people back with you. I need them to speak for themselves. Here we see the justice of this man. So then he says, speak for yourself, what do you have to say? So then they chose the most eloquent amongst them. And at the time, to Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu begins the speech. And what a speech he gives. He says, Ayyuhal Malik, O King, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya. And this is relevant very much today. He says, "Kunna qawman ahla jahiliya." We were a people of jahiliya, of the period of ignorance. We never knew anything. And obviously we know in context that these people, nobody wanted to rule over them. They ignored them. Nobody wanted to conquer Saudi Arabia because they were so backward and so lowly in their practices and etc. So then he says, we are ignorant. This means that the person is totally ignorant in terms of practice and in terms of knowledge. We know the greater bulk, most of them were illiterate. Not all, but most of them were illiterate. So they didn't know how to write. They didn't behave any good. So much so that at times, this is how lopsided the reasoning was. That a woman will go around making tawaf of the Kaaba. And she will say that I'm going to make tawaf of the Kaaba, do not look. We all know if you say something to a person, النَّاسُ حَرِيسٌ فِي مَا مُنِيَا. Man desires to see what is prohibited from him. This is how low they were. And together with that, they should bury their own children alive, not only the girls, sometimes even boys as well. And even lower than that is the slightest issue, they will start bickering and fighting amongst each other. And those wars will continue for years on end, after over some trivial issues. So this was the era before the advent of Islam. That was our amal. And in terms of our beliefs, what was our belief structure? hail from Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Na'budul asnam. We used to worship the idols. And nowadays, perhaps nobody will worship an idol per se. Then we take that idol and put it before him and say he's worshipping the idol. But a remnant of that is found. Wherein a person will worship a soccer star, a movie star, or whatever popular celebrity. And that, the Arabs say, كُلُّ مَا شَغَلَكْ أَنْ إِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ صَنَمُ. Distracts you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if to say, it is your idol. Maybe you may not worship an idol or idols per se, but because we are getting distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are also to some degree worshipping idols. And as far as jahalat, ignorance is concerned, a person goes to the maktab, he suffices on that few years that he goes to the maktab, says, I went to maktab, I went till grade 7, I went to grade 9. When I reached grade 9, I didn't have time, I had to go for tuition, there was no time. As if the man is saying, I was too busy preparing my dunya, I didn't have time to prepare for the akhirat. As if he's saying that I'm going to live forever in this dunya. And what's akhirat? Na'udhubillah, it's not such a big deal. So I won't make time for it. And the man comes in the masjid, and things that are severely, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has issued a severe warning, the man takes lightly. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if a person knew the gravity, the severity of the sin of crossing in front of a person who's performing salah in a masjid, then not only will he wait for 4 minutes, 40 minutes, or 40 days, he will wait for a long time, because that person who is intending to cross in front of, he's in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I are having a discussion on the street and somebody comes to just pass between us. How offended won't you feel? Now imagine this man. The man is Yunaji Rabbah, who is conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you cross in front of that man? But because this is leaders, he did not take time to study his own religion. So he takes it lightly. So in other fact, the person becomes arrogant. And he is ignorant, and then he becomes arrogant on top of that. Two wrongs he is doing. And two things which are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very important to seek knowledge as well. But then he carries on and he says, وَنَأْكُلُ الْمَيْتَ. And we used to consume carrion. Back in the days, they didn't know any better. So the man is consuming carrion, he doesn't even know. But if you reflect this or mirror this to today, what is it that is required of us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns many times in the Quran and Majid about consuming and advises about consuming halal. And Rasulullah s.a.w. warns against consuming haram in the hadith. He says the man is out on a journey. And we know that if a man is on a journey, his du'as are readily accepted. And he's in a predicament, a perilous situation. The man is raising his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. He raises his hand, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. And we learn in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person raises his hands up to the sky facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, thrice, his du'as are definitely accepted. But then Nabi Sallam gives a description of this person's spiritual state. He says, مَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ مَرْكَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَقَدْ غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. This man, his clothing is purchased from wealth that is haram. This man, he is nourished with haram. And then he says, to top it all off, not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not answer this man's dua, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِهَذَا. Very far-fetched, far removed, that this man's dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that he answers even the dua for kafir. But once a Muslim breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not prepared to answer this person's dua. And Rasulullah s.a.w. reiterates, or rather emphasizes the same point in another hadith, that a time will come upon mankind that a man will not be concerned from where his wealth is coming from. La yubali al-mar, doesn't give, in informal terms we say, he doesn't give a damn where his wealth is coming from, so long as he's making more profits, whether it means scamming people, whether it means robbing people, so long as there's more for him, he will do it. Because why? He has to compete with everybody else. Everybody else is pulling up with the latest vehicle. Every 6 months somebody's going on a holiday, he's going on for Umrah, etc. So how is he going to match up? So the way that he's going to do it, he's going to do it in a haram manner. La yubali al-mar, am min al-halal, am min al-haram. Where his wealth is coming from, he doesn't care. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this person, that this person is consuming the fire. He's consuming fire of Jahannam. All it takes for him to understand that he's consuming the fire is that he has to go into the right environment. For example, we say, They don't get near, don't go close to that. Don't bring fire close to that. It is fire. Don't bring a matchstick close to that, to a petrol, for example, something that is flammable. So don't bring it close, that is fire, because of the potential that it has. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this person is consuming haram. Then he is consuming fire. He just doesn't know it yet. And when he passes away, then you will see the reality of this. And we should be acutely careful about this, that we should never ever rob and cheat anybody. And the dunya will get away with it. People will allow you. They'll say, okay, never mind. We cannot force this man. We cannot get this money back from this person. But in the law, the man will come with the hordes and hordes of amounts of good deeds in the law. And he will say, he's fit to go to Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, there's a complaint against you. The man will say, shatama hada, daraba hada, wa akala mala hada. Okama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He hit this person. He usurped the wealth of this person. And he saw this person. Then the good deeds of his will be taken and will be given to the complainants. In this dunya we will get away, but in the hereafter definitely we won't get away in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَأْتِ الْفَوَاحِشِ. We used to carry out obscenities. We used to do all wrong things. All the things that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we used to do. And as a result, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't coming down. And this we learn in the verse of the Quran al-Majid, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subject to our a'mal. If we will do good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about the mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the incident of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam addresses his people. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَجَعَلَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Favorable conditions Allah Ta'ala promises. Says if you will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will bring about favorable conditions. But if you will not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ. Unfavorable conditions. People in our employer will not listen to us. People who are subject to us in our own houses will not listen to us. Why? Because we are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyid Rifai rahimahullah, he says, that I notice my level of disobedience, or rather, my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how I gauge. That if I notice my animal is not listening to me, my wife is not listening to me, my children are not listening to me, then I introspect that perhaps I've done something wrong. My relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been severed. Once that becomes rectified, then I see it, that my conveyance is listening to, my conveyance is obedient to me. My wife, my children, all are obedient to me. So this we have to check within ourselves. Not always that there is something wrong in the house, that it is jadu, people are putting nazar upon us. That is why this is happening in the house. Sometimes it is our own amal in most of the times. And then he goes on to say, وَنَقْطَعُ الْأَرْحَامِ. We used to sever family ties. Nowadays people don't have time. You didn't come to my walima, you didn't come to my wedding, you didn't come to my function, I'm not coming to your function as well. We are not on speaking terms, I don't want to speak to them, don't go visit them, I don't have time for them. And this is contrary to the spirit of Islam. As the Shaykh rahimahullah, he mentions an incident. Once he had a family member of his, and every Eid, like it's customary, we go and meet our relatives. It's something we should try and revive, to visit the relatives. This, the barakah comes in this. Nowadays you see that a house is extremely small, but they can't even afford to feed 10 people. But if you look at circumstances 20 or 30 years ago, in the house there should be about 20 people. One man, sole breadwinner, he will be able to feed the entire household. And then over and above that, during the holidays, more will come and stay there. There are so much barakah. This is the thing that we are missing nowadays, the barakah. But anyway, he says that on this particular day on Eid, I used to visit this relative of mine. And this relative of mine, whenever I used to make salam to him, he would turn his face away. So then I used to make salam, ask him, how are you? And then I would carry on with my way. So then somebody from the family asked, as a Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, why are you wasting your time with this man? He's not speaking to you, he's not on speaking terms with you. Why are you wasting your time? Just go to somebody else, get involved in some other work. So he says, Sharia, Islam has instructed me, the Sunnah, the Quran Majid has instructed me, that I have to join family ties. I have done my part. It is up to him to do what he has to do. So then this message finally reached this person. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because remember, the hearts are between the two fingers of Rahman. Whichever way he turns them, then Allah ta'ala makes it such that the person's heart softens, so the relationship was restored. We may never know. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that by that salam, He will restore our relationships. But provided that we are out there sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the rahim, the ties are written on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the person who will join me, may that person join the person who will join me. And may the person, may Allah ta'ala sever the person who will sever ties basically. So the barakah comes in this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you want an increase in your life, then make it a point that you join family ties. When you see ul jiwar, and we used to treat our neighbors very badly back in Jahiliyyah. Nowadays also it happens that during a ceremony at the house, there's a janazah, there's a nikah, there's a walima, etc. Whatever function there is, that a man will go and park by the neighbor's yard, and when a neighbor phones to inform them, look, your people are blocking the driveway. Say, come on, and have a function. Can't you understand? Can't you be understanding? What is the matter with you? You are parking in his way. You are obstructing his driveway. And yet you are complaining about that man. This is contrary to the spirit of Islam. The spirit of Islam is consideration. Whenever we are doing something, we need to ask ourselves, will I inconvenience anybody before by doing this action of mine? We need to think that. Hazrat Tani Rahmatullah says, it is not a justifiable excuse that you say that I didn't mean to. But prior to that, have you thought about it? Then really, if you say you didn't mean to, then you really didn't mean to. So when you see who you are, and sometimes you should be very particular, perhaps here it is maybe more common, that we have trees, etc. The trees should be pruned, that the leaves don't fall on the neighbor's yard, so that the neighbor doesn't complain because of your tree. What is, of course, the tree is big now, there's wind, the gust of wind comes and it blows the leaves onto the neighbor's yard. We're not talking about that, obviously that is not within your control. But what is within our control is that our leaves shouldn't be hanging on a neighbor's fence. That we are accountable for. If the man comes and complains, says, I don't have trees in my house, where are all these leaves coming from? I must pay the worker to come and rake all the leaves because of you. Obviously that is the leaf. And this man can complain in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see al-jiwar, يَأْكُلْ قَوِيُّ مِنَّا الضَّعِيفِ. Something unfortunately the Muslim has become infamous for. Oppression. That the man is oppressing on many fronts, whether it be the worker, whether it be his wife, whether it be sometimes in not giving people their due rights. The man who serves the wealth of people is not prepared to give it back. So it's my wealth, I earn this wealth. Why must I give you? Sometimes the person is overworking staff and say, look, it's 7 to 7 here. If you don't want to work, you can ship out. I'll get somebody today. Move along tomorrow, I get somebody today. People are looking for jobs. But you know very well that you will never employ your own family member to work the same hours. You will never employ your own family member for the same amount of wealth. But you are prepared to oppress that person. In the sight of Allah, in the dunya you may get away. But in the law on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about this. And the other is, sometimes a person, because he has authority in the house, so he says to his wife, look, you follow suit or otherwise you ship out. Now, that poor lady in the house, she knows she got nowhere to go. She's bored a man, 4 to 5 children. Who's going to marry her day after? So she has to live under the oppression. She's trying to explain to him, that come to Salah, or go to the masjid, go for programs, change your life, become a better Muslim, become a better father, become a present father. Which is nowadays, we don't really understand Allah, give all of us tawfiq. Sometimes we substitute quality time for wealth. They say we will buy everything that they need, but the man is barely there in his house. The child has no father, but his father is alive. Perhaps some 10, 20 years ago, they were understandable. Somebody has to go work far away. But nowadays the man is there. He's too busy pedaling away. He's too busy going to cycle in the morning. He doesn't have time. He has time for everything else, but he doesn't have time for his family. Now what happens? The child becomes a delinquent. The child becomes a headache for the teachers in school. The child becomes a headache in society. Why? Because he's lacking love. He doesn't have a strong family structure. And it starts here. The man is saying, I don't have anybody to talk to. I have a problem. I need somebody to talk to, and he'll be lucky if he builds that bond with that Molana or that Ustad in the masjid, wherein he can actually speak to the Molana and tell him about his problems. And that too is dependent on that father. If he is not there to take that kid to the masjid, how is that kid going to go to the masjid? So the bond is destroyed there as well. And these are the things that destroy the community. So in order for us to enjoy the benefits of Islam, there are 5 things that we have to get right. Or rather, Islam offers 5 things. One is, this is known as the maqasid of Sharia. Number one is Iman. We have to get our Iman right. And in order to protect our Iman, we also have to watch our company. Our elders have recently sent out a message. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuh sent a message. He said, this point should be reiterated, should be emphasized. When he says we should watch the company we keep. We all know the famous incident of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, how he lost his iman because of company. And sometimes because of the places we frequent. Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi. A man is on a deen of his friend. And how a person lives his life, that is how he will pass away. So many incidents have been recorded that the man goes out to a haram place and he passes away there. Of course, we all know that he is accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should make it a point that we protect our iman. And the second thing that Islam offers is that it protects human life. We won't go into detail because of time, but it protects human life. Obviously, the Quran Majid mentions this point. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For you, O people of understanding, is life in qisas, in equal retribution. Because the person knows if I kill a person, I'll be killed in retaliation. And then the third is protection of wealth. Islam offers that a person's wealth be protected. So if a person is absent, you are not allowed to take the man's wealth. Unless if you are going to give it back or find the owner. This all the more the Quran Majid mentions there are two reasons where you can take a person's wealth. Number one is if you are doing business with the man. Obviously, halal, honest business, not scamming people. And then the other is that if a person gives you the wealth. And the third is, the fourth point is the protection of intellect, aql, that Islam offers to protect our aql. We'll find nowadays what they are pushing and preferring. Is that a person says you can identify, you can be whatever you want. So you'll find a person says, I identify as a donkey. Rasulullah says, لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. It is not permissible for a Muslim to embarrass himself, to do things that will bring disrepute to him. And then, the protection of lineage. And obviously, this is very, very important. Nabi Sassam mentioned the hadith, that if you will make nikah difficult, if you will make mahr exorbitant, then what is the result of that? It will become like the Lobola Masla. That because amongst the Zulus, the Lobola is such an emphasized thing, it becomes so difficult, so exorbitant, then people aren't able to get married. And as a result, we'll find that the zina is very much rife amongst them. So in order for us to protect ourselves from this as Muslims, we need to make nikah as simple as possible and as affordable as possible. It doesn't mean that give your daughter away for nothing, but it means that within the framework of the Sharia, Mehri, Fatimi, etc., you stick within that budget. And then the other point that he says, that if we want the betterness of the world as a whole, then the following dua is very much worthy to recite. Allahumma aslihna wa farrij anna. Allahumma aslihna wa farrij anna. But it depends on what a person's individual capacity. But we have to rectify ourselves. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, alaykum anfusakum, worry about yourself firstly. You take care of your iman. In the hadith, the same point is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, wabki ala khatiyatik, cry over your sins. Cry over your sins, worry about yourself. Yes, da'wah, you have to encourage others to do good, but worry about yourself. And then after that, when we go out, we should go out as ambassadors of Islam. On the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, kam min jarin mutalliqin bijarihi, that the man who come and complain by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that man never taught me Islam. It's our duty to teach our fellow Muslims Islam. But that is dependent on our akhlaq. If our akhlaq is very good, then people will automatically be drawn towards Islam. So to say, we are all ambassadors of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kullukum kullu muslimin ala thagratin min thughar al-Islam. Allah, Allah, la yu'ta al-Islam min qibli. We talk about self-defense, we talk about jihad, etc. The preparation for that is that on the everyday life, we should be very, very particular about this. That we should be careful that Islam is not attacked from my angle. We should be careful about this. La yu'ta al-Islam min qibli. I'm standing on a post of Islam in terms of my akhlaq, in terms of my business, in terms of everything that I'm doing, I am defending Islam. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لكل أديان ما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ألف بين قلوب أهل الإيمان فأصبحوا بنعمته إخوانا وحثهم لا أن يكون كأعضاء جسد واحد أنصار وأخدانا نهاهم عن موالاه أعدائهم أعداء الإسلام المسلمين وأوعدهم بمس النار والخذلان للركون إلى الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على شمس الهدايه واليقين المميز بين الطيب الخبيث المهين المأمور بالغلبة والجهاد على الكفار والمنافقين وإعداد المستطاع من القوة الملهبة قلوب أعداء الله المقبولين سيدنا مولانا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين منقذا للخلائق من غضب الله ذي القوة المتين وعلى آله وصحبه الأشداء على الكفار الرحماء بين المؤمنين وأتباعه وتابعيه إلى يوم القيامة الحماة بيضة الإسلام الدين المبين أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أحسبتم أن تقول آمنا أنتم لا تفتنون أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم وتبتلوا مثل ما كانوا يبتلون فالله ليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الله الذين جاهدوا منكم وليعلمن الصابرين فقد ورد في القبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال سيكون بعدي أمراء فمن دخل عليهم فصدقهم بكذبهم وعانهم على ظلمهم فليس مني ولست منه وليس بوارد علي الحوض ومن لم يدخل عليهم ولم يصدقهم بكذبهم ولم يعنهم على ظلمهم فهو مني وأنا منه وهو وارد علي الحوض وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا اللهم احرم العرش الأقصى من اليهود الغاصبين اللهم فرج نعمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله وصحبه بارك وسلم اما بعد فيا ايها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن وحافظوا على الجمع والجماعه ووطنوا انفسكم الى السمع والطاعه واعلموا ان الله امركم بامر بدا فيه بنفسه ثم ثنى بملائكه قدسه ثم ثلث بالمؤمنين من بريه جنه وانسه فقال تبجيلا لقدر حبيبي وتعظيما ان الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام البخيل من ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليه وقال عليه الصلاه والسلام من صلى عليها واحده صلى الله عليه عشرة اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على حد خلقك اليك واكرم من لديك سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وتابعيه كما تحب وترضى ادد ما تحب وترضى وارض اللهم نبي بكر صديق نبيك من قال في حقه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كنت متخذا قليلا لاتخذت ابا بكر قليلا رضي الله تعالى عنه وارض اللهم للناطق بالصدق والصواب من قال في حقه سيد الجن والبشر لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وارض اللهم من كامل الحياء والايمان من قال في حقه سيد ولدي عدنان لكل نبي نفيق في الجنه ورفيقي فيها عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. رضي الله عن مركز الولاية والقضاء من قال في حق نبي الله من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاي حبيبه رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن كل صحابة أجمعين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فقال تبارك وتعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون.
Stand shoulder to shoulder, leave no gaps in between.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى. فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا. فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
No.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله استغفر. اللهم انت السلام بالسلام تبارك هذا الجلال والاكرام يا اولى الاولين يا اخر الاخرين يا ذا القوه المتين لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين نسال الله ان محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ات نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها انت خير من زكاها انت وليها مولاها اللهم اصلح لنا شاننا كله ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا وإذا أردت فتنة قوم فتوفنا غير مفتونين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك جزا الله أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من اليهود الغاصبين والله help our brothers, Ya Allah, in Gaza, in Sudan, in Syria, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, destroy the enemies of Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are making it difficult for us to practice on deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove them, Ya Allah. If he died, it's not written for them, Ya Allah. Remove them from the surface of the earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us contentment in our worldly wealth, Ya Allah. And grant us tawfiq to prepare for the hereafter, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Assalamu alaikum.